you think that you personally could make a difference in this town? Of course, collectively we can. I'm going to tell you a little story. We're going to have a Bible reading first, though, and I'm going to tell you a little story of something that happened over the last year. Bible reading from Luke. Luke 18. And Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them. Somebody's supposed to be coming to read this bit. No, this is the original Luke bit. Brilliant. Okay, sorry, I just suddenly saw someone getting up and I thought, oh, am I treading on toes here? Sorry about that. I tell you, do you want to just read it yourself while we're muddling? Anyway, but you get the gist. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I don't need to say any more than that, do I? Always pray and never give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Sounds familiar. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God is in the business of wanting to answer our prayers. He wants to get involved. He is involved in our world, but sometimes we've got to get involved. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of a story about my granddaughter. We had some time together in the park down before I got sick. This is in August sometime. And there's lots of rubbish, and we picked up the rubbish. And she said, there's always lots of rubbish about. And I jokingly said to her, you ought to write to the council. Anyway, we'll take it up. Is it all right to take the slide up here? I've called it the power of petition. She wrote, she's six. Well, she was. She's seven now. Hello, my name is Emma Wilson. I am 6 years old. I go to Burton End Primary School. During the summer holidays, I've noticed a lot of people dropping rubbish on the floor and seen lots of rubbish near KFC and the sports centre. I was thinking you should stop dropping rubbish. You should put stop dropping rubbish signs up, or else we will have nowhere to live, as it's bad for the environment. Emma. And her mum sent this off to the councils. Okay? She even produced a letter. So that's her little letter there with the world, and a letter given to the MP. And just a month or two ago, this is the response she got. Dear Emma, sorry it's taken a while to get back to you regarding litter in town. Next time you come into the high street, I hope you will see the brand new extra large bins that have just been installed. These have a bigger gap for people to tip their rubbish and a larger capacity. The old bins will be refurbished and be put in new locations, including on Jubilee Park area. We successfully sought £2,600 funding from the UK Shared Prosperity Fund for this as a result of your observation. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. Best wishes, Colin Poole from Haverhill Town Council. How wonderful, isn't it? We'll go on to the next one. She could get in it herself, couldn't she, really? But greater was to come. Look at that. That's in Haverhill, outside, not far. You see KFC in the background there. You know, this is a six-year-old who wrote a letter to the councils. You know, well, her mum obviously got involved. But you know what? We can sit and complain, or we can do something about it. You see, you know, we don't think that we can make much of a difference. But we can make a difference. We really can. And so I'm saying to all you people here, whatever God puts on your heart, you too can make a difference. And I encourage you to press in and persevere. I can't think if I've got another slide. I can't remember. Have I got another one? Oh, yeah. Look, there you go. That's something really important. Anybody heard of this man, Nelson Mandela? Any young people heard of Nelson Mandela? An incredible man. Went to prison for 27 years because he wanted to see his country transformed. Because while South Africa was completely... Anybody who was black, they had trouble. It was difficult. And so it was a white supremacy. And so he fought for this. 27 years he went to prison. And then, of course, it all changed after all these years. And do you know what? And I've got this on my wall at work, actually, so that's why I brought it with us. It always seems impossible until it's done. Do you know what? It seems impossible, doesn't it? Can you imagine a transformation in Haverhill? Seems impossible, doesn't it? It always seems impossible until it's done. I'm never going to get to do what I want to do. Don't give up. Don't give up. You can make a difference. Shall we pray? That's my next bit, is it? Okay. Or is there a song? All right. I'll sing first. Lord, I just want to thank you for our young people, the way in which you inspire us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, you'd release faith in us to be able to do that which you have called us to do, to actually go and be the people of God that you've called us to be, whether we're 6 years old or 60 years old. Lord, it does not matter to you, Lord. We can still make a difference. And you encourage, just as you did to that lady you told us, Jesus, you said, don't give up. And so, Father, as our young people go out and to their own classes, Lord, we pray, inspire them to really believe that they can make a difference in this world and bring transformation in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you mind if we just have a word of prayer? Father, we want to thank you that you are the God who sees. You are the God who is with us. You're the God who is so interested in us. Lord, we pray that your word, the word that you have, that you've placed in my heart, Lord, the word, the reading of your word, Lord, we pray that you would bring it to life in our day, that we may live out our lives for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel I rushed that a little bit there about reach. Thank you very, very much for your prayers. And thank you for your support, whether it's food, finances. It's tough. It's tough out there. Drying up of, donations, both financial and food donations. It's hard, but we trust God for it, really. And I don't say that in a kind of frivolous way. We have no choice, but we just have to keep pressing on. The need is very great. So apologies if I rushed that a little bit and made it a little bit. It's an incredible privilege to be involved in, just seeing transformation in people's lives. I rushed over a story about a gentleman I didn't even mention his name, a chap called Andrew. We call him Andrew, he's not really called that. But a man who's been sick since he was young, can't get a job. He gets a job, and he gets laid off because his sickness is so bad, because he just gets sick. He applied 3 times for personal independent payment. That's before it got tough and got turned down every time. And that's when my colleague got involved and actually fought for him, took him to tribunal. And the judge rung him within half an hour. That's unheard of. And says, you're getting it in full with a back pay back to October 2023. I think it's £12,500 of money back. And 100 and some odd going forward a week or something. He was behind on his mortgage. His wife was the worker. He was trying to work. This is what it's like out there. This is people in Haverhill. So thank you. Thank you for your support for this. and my apologies for making it just rush over it a little bit. You know, every pound, every donation really does make a difference. And we want it to bring transformation. We'd love it that people weren't actually needing our services. So, yeah, thank you anyway. Let's turn to the word, that which God has put in my heart to bring. You know, I just want to refer back to the reading. Let me just get rid of those bits. In Luke 24, do you know what? And is it possible to bring up that reading there, rather than me point it out in my Bible? I'm very happy to, but it's much easier if it was on, up on the screen. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet, it's I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed him his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them probably to say, you know, just to prove that I am a living, you know, I'm alive. "Do you have anything here to eat? Ghosts generally don't eat anything." Yeah. So there was a sense really there. But I love that bit there about, and while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement. I mean, I don't know what would happen if Jesus, King Jesus, come and stood here amongst us. That which we're praying for, come and stood amongst us. I wonder how, what the kind of reverence and respect would be like. I have had the privilege of going before our current king. So he was Prince Charles at the time. And when I went, I had to follow a protocol. I had to stand before him. I had to bow, and then I had to go and speak to him. And then, you know, once he'd finished speaking with me, he held out his hand, and that meant you have to go. I then bow my head. I then have to walk backwards like this, bow my head again, and then I go out the door like this. He's a man. He's a man. We're talking King Jesus here. What would it be like if King Jesus come and stood amongst us? King Jesus. Does anybody do Lectio 365? Always a few on Saturday. Well, I love it anyway, but the one on Saturday particularly stood out to me. And there's a little phrase just towards the end, and it says, "I sometimes doubt God because his promises seem too good to be true, or because I think they apply to other people but not me." I just want to take my time on that. I sometimes doubt God because his promises always seem too good to be true. Or good things don't ever happen to me. They always seem to happen to anybody else. You read the stories, we hear the stories, don't we? Across, and it always seems to happen to somebody else. And it never seems to happen to us. And I wonder if that was what was going on with the disciples there. Well, we've heard it, but we can't believe it. We had read the scriptures. Of course, we'd read the scriptures, but we believed it up here, but we didn't believe it in here. How many times do we believe it up here? Well, you know, we believe in the God of miracles. We've been singing, "Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind." Okay, as a blind person, come and stand in our midst. What are we going to do? The difference. You know, God that can do these things. Do we really believe that he's going to do great and miraculous things? We've heard it happening to others, but not me. But you know, God is able to get what is needed to us and for when we need it by. Let me tell you a little bit of a funny story. Let me grab a drop of water. I've called it. Be careful what you pray for. My granddaughter, I've featured her quite a lot this morning, actually. But Emma, she's now 7. When she was 4, she wanted to have, on her 4th birthday party during coronavirus 2021, we all had to come dressed in a character. Now, Angela's was easy because she could just go, because she got Mary Poppins, you know, practically perfect in every way, which kind of suited her really in my mind. But me and Emma, we constantly watched at that time Peter Rabbit. And I wanted to come as Peter Rabbit. And so I looked up a Peter Rabbit outfit costume. And in this Peter Rabbit outfit, you know, it was £120 deposit plus £40 that you could. And I thought, I'm not spending that. And I just thought, it just in my spirit, it didn't seem right. And so I just jokingly kept saying to anybody I met, because not only do we have to pray, we then have to ask, we have to do. We can't just pray, we have to go, pray and go. I would say, you haven't got a rabbit outfit, have you, by any chance? And people would just, it almost become quite obvious and quite daft, really, in terms of, you know. And anyway, rolling on. I'd even mentioned it in our prayer time at work. Joe Goodhall was with us at the time. And so, just jokingly. Anyway, Tuesday night at our home group, whatever you want to call it, they said, anybody got any prayers? I said, yeah, I want a prayer for a rabbit outfit for Saturday. And he said, well, we'll add it to the list. I said, oh, please don't really. I was just joking. He says, no, we'll put a prayer, you know, we'll put a prayer out for a rabbit outfit. And I said, I'll tell you what, I said, if there's a rabbit outfit that appears before this weekend for the party, I'll wear it to church on Sunday and I'm leading. Okay. That was on Tuesday. On the Friday, I normally go for lunch, and with this gentleman, and for some reason I didn't go. Around about 1 o'clock time, when I would definitely not have been there, we received a call from a gentleman. I'll tell you his name, Chris Hammond, and he's married to a lady called Maureen Hammond, Hammond Hire, okay? And he said, we've got loads of flour. Would you like some flour? And I thought, not really. But yeah, we'll take it, as I normally do. And anyway, I says, how's Maureen doing? He says, oh, she's fine. Oh, I'll just get her for you. And I said, oh, Maureen, I says, I don't suppose you still do your hire. And I know she hadn't done it for years. And she said, oh, no, I retired years ago. What are you looking for? I said, oh, a rabbit outfit. She said, oh, I got one of them. You know, and so that was it. And I just thought to myself, you know, there are bigger things in life than a flipping rabbit outfit. Seriously, though, folks, it had an impact on me. If you come into the office, we'll go to the next one. This is the picture that sits beside Nelson Mandela. That picture. God is able to get what you need. He knows when you need it by. Why did Chris Hammond, who had bags of flour, ring on that Friday? Almost makes me believe to be a Calvinist. But, you know, God seemed to just maneuver stuff. And then, but why? There's so many other bigger things that are big on my heart. I couldn't care less whether I had a rabbit outfit. I'd have gone as Mr. McGregor. You only ever see his trousers anyway, so it didn't matter really, but I would have worn clothes. But just so you know, and wellies. But you know, I mean, it just wasn't that important really. But God is interested in us as individuals. And so I just say this really again with your 40 days of prayer. Thank you for doing this. Haverhill really needs to pray, doesn't it? thank you for Kay and for Pat and for Joyce, how you have stood and prayed for 30-odd years for Haverhill, believing that God is going to come and visit this place. Are we believing this? Thank you for your faithfulness to prayer. Thank you. We need to be a praying place. But be careful what you pray for. God is on the move. Look at that reading we read. I really believe. See, you know, the spring is coming, folks. And I don't mean look outside and see the leaves on the trees. Listen, the Spirit is moving in our nation. Hear what's being said. Atheists are renouncing atheism. You know, in the Times and other places like that, there is a move. There's a slow awakening that's going on. The time of singing is beginning to come. There's a new season emerging. Do you perceive it? Not be careful what you pray for. That's a bit of a joke, really. But yeah, be careful what you pray for. Just three things just came on my mind, really. Be specific in your praying. Jesus said to the blind man, he says, what do you want me to do for you? If I'd have been Bartimaeus, I would have said, isn't it obvious? I don't know that I would have done, really, but you know what I mean. But isn't it obvious? But he said, I want to see. I want to see. Be prepared to be part of the answer. Do you know, I still had to ask. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. That would take so many days' wages. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And be ready for when the breakthrough comes. Just rolling back to Good Friday. The death of Jesus. By this time it was about noon. The darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, surely this man was innocent. And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. I'll just read that last little bit again, verse 49. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. What was going on in their hearts and minds at that time? Stood at a distance, just watching. Well, you get a picture of what Cleopas says in The Road to Emmaus. We thought he was the one. We thought he was going to be the Messiah. We thought that sense of dejection. I call it the silence of Saturday. Because sometimes, I'm sure you would agree. When we pray, God is silent. Sometimes God is just silent. But the silence of Saturday. What's it like? You know, we just don't know, do we? In the silence, in the run-up to any breakthrough, can be hard. When, God, when? When are you going to come? And yet we have to trust God in the drought. More to the point, in the silence of Saturday. So when there is no movement. I've just had my grandchildren over from Romania and we planted some little lettuce seeds. So pleased that they came up before she went home. Because you put them in the ground, you have no idea whether they're going to come up or not. But it's the silence. Even when we can't see it, you're still working, Lord. There's a song, isn't there? We've no idea when the breakthrough is going to come. I remember selling a flat a couple of years ago, and oh my goodness me, it took forever. And I just so wanted it. And we were running out of money. You know, it was costing us to have it, and we really needed to get rid of it. when, God, when? And then suddenly, bang, it happens. Suddenly, it comes, and you've got to be ready. Suddenly, that what you're praying for, suddenly it starts to happen. Suddenly it starts to appear. But are we ready? Are we ready? The 16th of October last year was a very ordinary Wednesday. But really, I had no idea about what lie ahead that day. You know, we often think about what's tomorrow, and James writes about this, you know, we've got all these plans and everything else. We've no idea what's to come tomorrow. We've no idea what's going to happen today. So let's roll back. 16th of October, Wednesday morning. Angela was just heading off to Romania to go and see our grandchildren over in Newborn. And I was seeing a carpenter because we'd had some work done. And I got a phone call from my colleague. We'd submitted an application, a funding application, to Braintree District Council back in April for some work that we're doing over there, helping families struggling, and we've been invited to get involved. And she said, almost, because we'd almost kind of written it off and it was never going to happen anymore, you know, it just wasn't going to happen. And she says, you know, that 40,000 has come through. And we just think, and I didn't know how I felt, really, to be honest. I really didn't know how I felt. But when I got to the office, one of the things we do in the office, if look on social media sometimes, you'll see us dancing on tables. It's quite a common occurrence, you know, when something good happens, you know, we get a result for someone dancing on the table. There was no dancing on the table. It was just, God, thank you, God. Let me roll back a couple of months before that. We knew we were facing a deficit. So 23, 24, we knew financially we were facing a deficit. And so we needed, it was going to be 70-odd thousand pounds or something that we knew was facing. And it meant if we didn't get in another 25,000 pounds, we would be, you know, we would have to draw on our reserves. So on the wall, as I said, prayer, on our prayer wall, it's not very big. It's just got a few little requests on there. But we put on there 25,000 by the end of September is what we need. God, you've done this before, you can do it again. Silence. Very disappointed on that Friday when we had to transfer 25,000 from our reserves. We've only got 3 months' reserves, folks. Let's be honest, it's not, it's getting risky. We knew we got some money coming in October, but we had to download to make salary payments and everything else. And so I was disappointed and just thought, God, when, why, what's happened? You know, am I not? And so my soul searching began. And many a time I would be up in the night praying, God, is there something you want to speak to me about? Is there something that's really going on here? And God, I just don't really know what's happening here. Psalm 25 was really precious at the time. I won't go into the details of what it was, but just praying, you know, God, that you would move. God, that you would happen. And this would happen. And so to get this £40,000 on the day was just, wow, amazing. Anyway, we had a trustee meeting that night, and one of the trustees was really worried about our future and how we could possibly survive or anything like that. And so she'd got all the facts and figures ready, and she'd actually got a message from my colleague who deals with the accounts, and she knew that there was £180,000 in the bank. Now, that's not a lot of money when in a £600,000 overall budget. So we just had a payment in from a big grant, so we knew we were all right, but it was concern for the future. And so when my chair of trustees, stay with me, folks. It's really good. It gets much better. When the chair of trustees opens the bank, you know, he says, well, no, there isn't £180,000 in there. There's £222,000. And this lady says, how? Where? I did the figures this afternoon at 3:30. You know, the figures are there. I've got them from Netta. I know what the figures are. He said, well, look, here's the bank account. And I said, well, we had a grant in today of £40,000, you know, just feeling very smug about myself or anything like that. And so anyway, next day I was meeting Moses and next door. So I walked down the hill and my phone was going. I just thought, oh. You know, so, and we met with Moses, we prayed together, and then I came outside the next door and just thought, and they said, do I know somebody? I won't say her name. And I just thought, not really, not, no. And apparently he knows you. While I was out of the office, my other colleague had rung me and told me about the money that had come through, the £40,000. She said that she run Braintree District Council and say, thank you very much for that £40,000. That's amazing. You don't believe how amazing was the timing. It's incredible. They said, it wasn't us. Hello? Well, where's this £40,000 come from? My colleague who on reception comes in and says, well, we had a call from somebody yesterday. And he says, I'd like to make a large donation. I thought a large donation might be £500, might be £1,000. £40,000 deposited into our account between 3:30 and 6 o'clock when we were to meet. £40,000. Come on, folks, just think about it. 40 times 2. 40 times 2. 40 in the Bible means something, doesn't it? Generally, there's something. It's at the end of a period of fasting. And boy, you know, suddenly we've got two lots. In my mind, it's a double blessing. Why 40? Why couldn't he have sent 30? And then, or why couldn't they have sent 41 like we'd asked for? Exactly 40. Exactly 40. Both on the same day. My colleagues, some of them are not Christians. They're just, God is in the business of answering prayer, is meeting our needs. £80,000, that's a seventh of our money for the whole year in one day. You know, I've heard it said with other people. And when I spoke to the gentleman, I said to him, oh, I've been thinking about doing it for a while. I said, you have no idea the timing. Between 3:30 and 6 o'clock. Before the trustee, and the trustee was almost like, huh? No, I checked. No, it's here. You know, when it rains, when God answers our prayer, boy, do we need to be ready. What's it going to look like when the prayers that you're praying over these next 40 days, I say you, we, have been praying for the next 40 days, let's say people start coming in and you suddenly got to shuffle around and put your handbag away because you've got some, what I might call, I'm going to say undesirables. You get my gist. What happens when young people start coming in who've got their hoods on? People who are caught up in some kind of sexuality or other bits and pieces are weird and wonderful, but they've heard this Jesus can really change and bring salvation and impact people's hearts. What? When they're noisy, when they don't sit still, when they don't behave themselves in church. God is in the business of answering prayer. What's it going to look like when our prayers start to get answered? When God starts to pour out his Spirit upon us. It might not look pretty, folks. We might not have a seat in here. In 1893, there was standing room only. Standing, you might not have a seat. Be ready. Be ready for what you're praying for. Because God is on the move. Lovely reading from Song of Solomon's. Lovely reading. See, something's happening. Something happening in our nation. Why not here? Why not us? And why not now? Are we ready? Be ready. Just to recap. Be specific. Be prepared to be part of the answer. Be ready for when breakthrough comes. Time is really running on. But you know what? When God moves, forget lunch. Forget your Sunday lunch, folks. You'll still be here. You might actually be here till 8 o'clock and beyond. When God moves. So do you know what? I make no apology to read a chunk of scripture, what Jesus said at the end. Come on. We're really serious about God. Come on. We're really serious here, aren't we? However, this is from Mark chapter 13, verse 32. And he says, and I realize this verse is pointing towards a future time, you know, where Jesus returns. But also, bear in mind, it speaks about the hour and the time is unknown. No one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, and we don't. We don't know when God's going to move. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows, and since you don't know when that time will come, be on your guard. Stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slave instructions about the work they were to do and told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. You too must keep watch. This is for us. This is for us, folks. Me. We must keep watch. For we don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone. Watch for him. Father, I do want to pray that you will apply these words to our hearts. That which is not relevant, Lord, we pray, throw it away. But Lord, I thank you that you are the God who is speaking. You are the God who is at work in our town, in our nation. Lord, we long to see you move. And we pray, oh God, that we will continue to pursue you and press into you to see transformation in our town and in our nation. In Jesus' name. Amen.